I had to try very hard not to say blessed are the cheesemakers. You ever seen The Life of Brian? It's a Sermon on the Mount, what we're starting with today in our gospel reading. And the crowd is as far away from Jesus. What did he say? He said, blessed are the cheesemakers. No, I don't think that's right. It's not hard to understand why people would be a little confused by this. I mean, Jesus is taking the world as they thought they knew it and turning it on its head. Very few people thought that the poor in spirit would be blessed. That's not the word we associate with the poor in spirit or with many of these others. Those who mourn, how are they blessed? But Jesus is showing in his opening words here in the Sermon on the Mount that our observation of the world does not always fit the reality of the world. Things are not always what they seem. Paul fleshes this out in his letter to the Corinthians. The things that we say are seen to be foolishness to those who are perishing, but is wisdom to those who are being saved. The whole message of Christianity is, on its face, ridiculous. I have said before, and I will say it again, if we were going to make something up, it wouldn't be this. Christianity is too weird to have been made up. Instead, it's our trying desperately to understand what God has revealed about God's self. I mean, if you want to make up a rational deity, you wouldn't say that deity is three persons but one being. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they're all just one God. It's not three gods. It's one God, but they're three people. You see, no, that doesn't make any sense. That's why I call Trinity Sunday heresy Sunday. You can't explain the Trinity. It doesn't make sense. But it's what has been revealed to us. Jesus is 100% God and 100% human being. That adds up to 200%, and that doesn't make a bit of sense. How can this person be God? How can God be in this person? I have no idea. You can't explain the incarnation. It is. Their church has been trying to explain its experience of God in Jesus Christ for 2,000 years, and if we think we've got it nailed down, we're wrong. When you start making sense, that is heresy. That's why heresies are so beguiling. They make sense. They're perfectly logical. It makes perfect sense to think that Jesus was just this guy, and then when he was baptized, God adopted him as his son. He said, "This on this day, I declare you my son, and you I'm well pleased." It makes perfect sense. So it's a heresy. It's not the way it is. Jesus was always the Son of God. How? I don't know. Nobody does. It's God we're talking about. Nothing makes sense. Our human minds cannot wrap themselves around the idea of God and Jesus. Thank God we're not required to. We try to put into words something that cannot be expressed. And if we ever lose sight of that, we lose out on the majesty of God. Once we think we've got it figured out, we lose. We lose out on a wonderful thing, a wonderful mystery. An intentional mystery. Paul tells the church at Corinth, you know, the Jews demand signs and the Greeks expect wisdom. You're not going to get it. There's not going to be an absolute sign that this is God. There's not going to be a perfectly logical explanation of what God is and how God works in the world. It's not going to happen. If you're holding out for that, forget it. Instead, God is experienced. And we can try to use words to put that experience out there, but it's going to fall short. Everything that we say about God and Jesus Christ and about God's church, it's a metaphor at best. It's an attempt to put something beyond human understanding into human words. The thing is, it's really not that complicated. I like it in Micah when God is being kind of snarky. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? In what way have I wearied you? He's being very sarcastic here, you see. You know, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. That wasn't good. And then it goes on. You know, what do I demand of you? What does God demand of you? That you come in and you sacrifice a one-year-old calf? I mean, that's a pretty valuable commodity there. You wouldn't have that many calves in your flock, and you have to sacrifice a year-old one. Better yet, let's make it, you know, 10,000 rivers of oil. Come on, bring it on in, everything you got. Better yet, sacrifice your firstborn child. That's what I demand of you. No. No. What God asks of us is that we do justice, love mercy, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. Much simpler, much easier, much more difficult at times. I was sharing in Sunday school that when, I believe it was Duncan Hines, first put out their cake mixes for home use, you added water, stirred it up, and baked it. That was it. And nobody believed it could be any good. Nothing that simple could taste good. And so they reformulated it. You had to add a couple of eggs, some oil, do a little effort. Then you would have something that tastes good. Because we're trained. Anything that takes effort is good. Anything that takes no effort is bad. And yet, in Christ, Christ does it all. Look at what he said in the Corinthians verse here. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In Christ, it is all. And in return, we love God and love our neighbor. We don't have to do anything except live our lives towards God. Because being in God's kingdom is not about following a list of rules or doing certain things or saying certain words even. And I say that as an Episcopal priest. It's about living a life of love in God. To, as Micah puts it, to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. But the world teaches us the exact opposite. Humility is not a prize in this world. Stand up for yourself. Go out there and fight for what you need. No, not exactly. Being a Christian is not about running rampant over the world. It's not about conquering and pillaging. It's about living and loving. When our Lord Jesus Christ was incarnate and lived among us, he didn't raise an army and conquer the world. He loved the world. He fed people. He healed people. He blessed people. He talked with people. He understood people. He worked to tear down barriers between people. So that Paul could write that in Christ there is no Jew or Greek. There's no differences. We're brought together. That's the essence of Christianity, that we are seeking to bring the world together in the kingdom of God. And that we turn over our lives to God so that Christ may act through us. So that when the world looks at us, they don't see Brant or Joe or Betty. They see Christ. That's how we're to live our lives. That every moment, everyone looks at us, they see Christ. And it's not going to happen. Not with me anyway. Some of you are probably better than me. But we're supposed to try. That's the goal. That's the ideal. And God promises to help us to do that. God gives us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to help us to achieve that ideal of Christ living through us, so that we can do the work of God while here on earth. We can further God's kingdom. We allow ourselves to be transformed by Christ so that we can allow Christ to transform the world. Love God. Love your neighbor. Transform the world. It's the essence of Christianity. May God give us the grace to achieve that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.